reporting live tonight, there are a number of protests that have broken out in the streets of our nation today in regard to the death of Mr. George Floyd. People are angry. They are calling for reform and even abolition of police departments. I've got Will on the streets today at these peaceful protests. I'm going to pass it over to you, Will.
Thank you, Brian Stelter. Yeah, it's pretty crazy here today. There's people looting, rioting. There's fires all over.
Cut that off. As you just heard from our operative Will Witt, the streets are looking mostly peaceful. Everybody is holding up their signs, calling to the government for reform of the police department in this very, very peaceful protest. Thank you so much, Will. More news tonight.
Yeah, these 20 plus murders are pretty peaceful.
Will, shut up. Guys, welcome to Will and Amala Live, where we just did a bit of dishonest reporting, which is, you know, pretty typical for mainstream media. Today we have a guest on our show, and his name is Tim Ballard. You might recognize him. Hey, Tim.
Hey, thanks for having me back. I love being here.
For those who maybe don't recognize your face, Tim, can you tell everybody who you are and what you do?
Sure. Yeah, I am I'm the founder of Operation Underground Railroad. We're an organization throughout the world that works to eliminate the trafficking and exploitation of children.
Amazing. I mean, you've been doing this work for quite some time. You have some insane stories, some that you've shared on the show and off on your other social media. Before we get into everything, how can people follow you and find your organization?
We are at OURrescue.org or hashtag at OUR Rescue.
Amazing.
Not hashtag, sorry, just at OUR Rescue. Sorry.
Perfection. Tim's going to be doing our Throwback Thursday for today and also talking about a trip that he and Will are going to be taking here shortly. So there's some interesting things to talk about. But first, let's get into the stories of today. First story we got is that the Grammys, you know it, you hate it. The Grammys have officially been postponed indefinitely due to coronavirus-related concerns. They're really scared about this Omicron variant. So now you guys don't get to watch Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion shake their butts on the stage.
You know, I know 2022 already has been full of a lot of bad news, but we can all relish in the fact that finally some good news, right? The Grammys are being canceled. That's good news for all of us to see.
Yeah. It's like if an award show dooms down in the forest and there's no one there to see it, you know, does it really happen?
No. I mean, look, the Grammys gave Megan Thee Stallion last year, I believe it was last year, a New Artist of the Year award. I mean, that should go to show you, if you guys, you know who Megan Thee Stallion is?
I don't know her.
You don't?
You lucky dog.
Megan Thee Stallion.
Sounds awesome. Yeah, no,
it sounds awesome, but not as awesome as you would think.
No,
just an incredibly abrasive, overtly sexual type of music that is just not good for young women to listen to. And she won New Artist of the Year last year. And it's like, those are the types of people who win these types of awards at the Grammys. It's no longer about creating some like beautiful piece of art or something that's magnificent and will last through history. It's about, you know, who can make the most viral thing that someone is going to listen to because it's the catchiest and the most obnoxious and,
right,
you know.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if the Grammys is just using COVID as an excuse to shut down doing the show because their viewership is just so bad. Nobody watches award shows anymore because they're just used to virtue signal.
Right.
Every single award.
No, it's like CNN's going to shut down CNN and they're like, oh, it's Omicron,
right,
you know,
right,
and they really just don't want people to see their ratings.
Right. I can go without hearing some 16-year-old pop star talk about how important it is to be a radical feminist who's part of the Black Lives Matter movement. I can do without it.
No, of you course.
Know, I'm not going to miss the Grammys.
You like the Grammys, Tim?
I don't think I've ever watched.
Really?
Ever.
Why not?
I got things to do.
See, that's an amazing thing.
That's a very adult answer.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got things to do.
Listen, there was a poll that just came out. I saw it. I forget who did it. You'd have to fact check this.
Okay.
But it was that people who are obsessed with celebrity culture actually have lower IQs in general than people who aren't.
Makes sense.
It's people who are obsessed with that vapid like nonsense of celebrity are usually not as smart as people who aren't. So Tim, you must be really smart.
I think I am.
Yeah.
Thank you. Right. Finally, someone's confirmed what I always hoped.
Right.
And so many of these people, I mean, just talking about the work that you're doing, Tim, so many of these people in the Grammys, like when they come up and give their acceptance speeches, right? They'll come and talk about all these issues that are happening. They'll talk about climate change. Mm-hmm. They'll talk about the threats to our democracy that we're seeing. They'll talk about Orange Man Bad, all these types of things. But when it comes to the real struggles, you don't see any of them talking about it.
It breaks my heart. You know, I just, our team's been out in a certain country the latter part of last year, and just got the report from the police report. This came in a few days ago. The intel we provided created an opportunity for this particular law enforcement agency to bust up two different trafficking rings, girls that were being trafficked from another country. And I was telling you before the show, I saw the pictures and I was just like, oh my gosh, not that I haven't seen this before. And it's not always this way, but they literally have these girls taken from their families in a country they can't escape, and they sleep every night in a shed. It was a wooden shed with a padlock on the outside. Mm. They open the shed around 3 or 4 o'clock, get it so they can get ready and to be raped all night at a club, and then back into the shed. And that, I mean, that's happening to millions of people throughout the world. So you see these stories, you participate in the operation, you come home, and then you see that is the headline. And it's heartbreaking. It's like, mm-hmm. how is that? How are we so ass backwards in this country where the headlines are that, are these things you're talking about?
Well, because it's
when
so,
this is happening by the million.
Because think about how easy it is for someone to go up there and say, screw the president, right? Screw mm-hmm. Donald Trump. Or how easy it is for someone to go up there and say, climate change is so bad. Because when you say that, you don't have to actually take any responsibility for that, right? Yeah. You don't have to do anything. But when it comes to something like human trafficking, there is something granted that they could do. There's easily something they could do. I mean, your organization is asking for volunteers, mm-hmm. people who can help and volunteer to do more. And it's a nonprofit, work with you. But they won't do that because then it requires actually having to do real activism right. instead of just talk about it on a platform.
But what's worse, like it was bad enough that I'd come home and see the headlines and how screwed up they were. And they didn't even match the body of the paper. You know, it's a headline. It's clickbait. But now I'm confronted with something I've never thought. I never thought I'd see this. We were talking earlier in the show, before the show started, about this, where they're actually coming out and actually denying the sexual abuse of women and children. The Atlantic just did a hit piece on me, on us, but also on the cause in general, saying it's called the Great Fake Child Sex Epidemic.
I saw that.
Disgusting.
And the one good part is that they do admit that OUR is the center of gravity in the movement. So I was like, okay, kind of an indirect compliment. And then they trash on us. Uh-huh. But what they're saying, what they do is they narrowly define what human trafficking is. For example, it's something like, you know, if a hard kidnapping, like an Elizabeth Smart type kidnapping, right? Which is not very common. And if that is human trafficking, then it's not happening that much. And I'm pulling my hair out, and it's like, it's usually lure cases or families selling their kids, or it's this fastest growing criminal enterprise in the world. And they just obliterate the facts. And I'm thinking, I can't figure it out. Maybe you guys can help me. Why? Yeah, why do you not want it to be a problem? Except the same publications are also talking about this thing called MAP. Mm-hmm. You know what MAP is?
Right. Well, before we get into that, I think they don't want to say what the problem is because so many people on the right are actually talking about this, you know, and they don't want to join with us on anything. They won't even join with us on stopping human trafficking, sex slavery of children.
Yeah.
They won't join with us on that.
I think what happened was this has always been a bipartisan issue. Like Democrats and Republicans have both had great ideas as the government fights to combat this. When Trump made it one of his kind of platforms, it was really Ivanka who was pushing it. And I was appointed by him to co-chair a committee to fight it. Mm-hmm. And it was like, after he lost, it was like, okay, human trafficking's not real because Trump said it was real. Like, is that really how sick we are? Is that what's happening? But I think you're right. I think that's when we saw the change.
Yeah, it's people don't want to attach themselves to anything that has to do with an ideological group that they disagree with. So even if that means saving children's lives, saving women's lives, having people go out and end slavery, they don't want to support it.
Yeah,
that is such a wild thing. You were going to get into sort of the talk about MAP. And that sort of cultural shift. We did a story on the show a few weeks back, and I'll see if I can pull it up for you guys. Here it is. Non-binary university instructor calls to destigmatize pedophilia. And in this, university instructor said we shouldn't call pedophiles pedophiles. You know, it's a term with a very negative connotation. Instead, we call them MAPs, or minor attracted persons. Is this something that you've been hearing about for a long time, or is this relatively new?
So I've been tracking this for my whole career, but I thought it was staying on the periphery. You've heard of NAMBLA, right? NAMBLA is a real thing. It's not just a South Park episode, right? Mm-hmm. The North American Man Boy Love Association.
Mm-hmm. And sorry, I got to say one thing. I was looking for this online when you were talking about the Atlantic.
Yep.
I don't have my computer put up here, but you can just,
I've got it.
The picture of Lauren Powell Jobs, who is the majority stakeholder in the Atlantic, is pictured partying with Ghislaine Maxwell.
And by the way,
amazing.
I'm not identifying a conspiracy, but that the thing, the story published right in the middle of her trial.
Of course.
Coincidence?
Right. Then they seal away the book and no one has to take any accountability for anything. Sorry, I didn't mean to detract from your saying, but I was looking for this photo.
It's fine.
And I was like, I know this lady was with Ghislaine Maxwell, a majority stakeholder in The Atlantic, and then they put out a piece that says human trafficking isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Even though before they were saying, oh, it's a big deal. I mean, there were articles from The Atlantic, there were articles from CNN, all these people saying this is an epidemic. And then now they come out and say it's not.
It's nothing. It's the great fake child sex epidemic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To the millions of children being raped every day. I don't know the name of that author. That's on you.
Caitlin Tiffany.
Think of all those children, Caitlin, who are being raped right now. We know they are. The State Department says it. The UN, everybody that's fighting this says it. That's on you. Because what your words did is made it less likely that those kids are going to be saved. So congratulations. Thank you.
It just amazes me that somebody, especially a woman, can sit down and write something like this and put that title on it and then publish it. Have this published and say, the great, and again, for those of you who want to see it, here is the article itself, the great fake child sex trafficking epidemic. Insane. And it obviously points to what is, we so often the left talks about systemic problems. This is a systemic problem. There are so many people that know that this is happening in this country and who are involved in it and who are elites in this country. And that's the reason it's never going to be called attention to. And we are going to talk about the Ghislaine Maxwell trial later on in the show today. But there's a reason so much of this got swept underneath the rug.
It's super disappointing.
Okay, so more about the MAPS thing. Sorry, we were getting into that.
Yes, let's get back into it.
Yeah, so, you know, what's concerning is I thought it would stay a very peripheral thing. Like, these guys are crazy. And they were citing some UC Santa Cruz, NAMBLA was, studies that show that children can express orgasmic, like, sensations. But, of course, they can. They're adults in embryo, right? Their bodies are to be that way. I've also seen the brain scans of children who have been raped continuously, and you can't tell the difference between that and a child's brain that experienced some serious, like, traumatic brain injury from, like, an automobile accident. It creates that kind of thing in their head, like a physiological change. It's destructive completely. But what they're saying is, since they can experience something orgasmic, whatever that is, why not let them express it fully? And who else to teach them but adults to participate in it, right?
Ugh.
So that was the... But all of a sudden, I had my...
And where was this again?
That was... UC Santa Cruz did some research on it, and others have as well. But NAMBLA, even 10, 15 years ago, they're using that data because they're trying to propose laws that will make it legal for adults to engage in sex with children. But what's frightening is my director of aftercare at OUR just came back, and she was emotionally shaken. She came back from a very mainstream therapist, like aftercare therapist conference, and she goes to learn, you know, how we can better serve kids who've been hurt. And there was a whole contingent in a mainstream conference of therapists, like legitimate therapists, coming out and saying, we actually believe this. We actually think we should start talking about destigmatizing pedophilia, and maybe kids will benefit by being touched and by being sexually stimulated by adults. Maybe it would be a positive thing for society.
Okay, so do you think that these people are doing this because they care about the children, or is it because so many of these people are psychotic? I mean, what do you think is the behind it of why this would happen?
I think this world has become so incredibly pornified, sexualized, and I think a lot of these adults who are porn addicts, I think there's so many porn addicts that they can't even see straight. They're sex addicts, and they're just, if you understand the brain, how it works, and what porn really is, a drug, right? It creates chemical reactions that are similar to, like, what heroin does to you. And I kind of think that they want to explore more and expand sexuality, and they want to start making this legitimate. And mark my words, this is how they're going to do it. There's another movement, this emancipation movement, where kids can emancipate themselves from their parents. Mm-hmm. Actors have done it in the past, but they're going to push this as well. So a 14-year-old can say, I'm emancipating, I have a lawyer, you got to leave me alone. And then in comes the 50-year-old pedophile, well, let me take you as my bride. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to see that in this country. I'm going to make a prophecy. We're going to see that in the next 5 years.
These types of people should go to jail. It's crazy. The people pushing that, I mean, man,
you know,
it's like there should be, it's like you believe in freedom of speech, but the fact that these people say this, I mean, pushes you to a limit where it's like, should you even be allowed to say that?
And I think it's
to say such disgusting, horrible things.
And I think it's converging too with, we were talking about where Trump was so against and fighting. He spent like $300 million on right. fighting human trafficking. And because he did, and he's the devil, then it has to be false, hence these articles. So they're taking that, and I think they're using this. It was crazy. When I briefed President Trump for the first time in the White House, it was televised, and I briefed him. I would have said the same thing to any political leader of any party. The next day, we lost 1,000 donors. The next day, 1,000 recurring donors, they turned us off. And my financial team called me like, hey, you got to call them up. Tell them we're not political. You would have said the same thing to Obama or whoever. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I'm not going to call any of them, because they just signaled to us that they hate one man more than they love rescuing children from rape.
Yep.
And I don't want them on my team. Right. And that's where we're at. It's like, I don't want you on my, I don't want you helping me. If that's where your priorities are, and that's what we're seeing, half the nation, their priorities are on something crazy and political. I want to mm-hmm. hate someone, and I want to hate someone more than I want to save kids from being raped.
Right.
It's insanity.
Right.
But that's where we're at. I know.
Man, I did, I'll tell a little story. I did a PBS interview just this morning, and instead of focusing on anything that was important, any social issue, any political form of thought, it was all around Trump and January 6th. The entire interview was spent trying to pigeonhole me into saying something about January 6th really? And Donald Trump. The entire interview.
I should've prepped
just
you.
Amazing. I did fine, luckily. It wasn't explained to me that was going to be what the subject matter of the interview was at all. And they care far more about that than anything else, any other pressing matter in this country. Mm-hmm. Any other pressing matter in this country. So we're going to shift gears for a little bit, and soon we'll get to how Will is going to be working with OUR in a very important way. We'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about what today is. What is today, guys?
Doesn't ring a bell.
The day before January 7th.
Yeah, day after January 5th.
Yes, absolutely. It is January 6th. And if you've been on social media or watching the news at all today, all you're going to hear about is the wretched January 6th insurrection, as they call it. But I wanted to bring light to something that the Unwoke Narrative posted on Instagram today. And it's something that we are not talking about, and actually something that I brought up during this interview with PBS is... Let's look at the BLM riots, the 500 plus BLM riots that happened here in America over the summer after George Floyd died. And let's compare that to January 6th. Here's the graph. So as far as the BLM riots go, they lasted 7 months. January 6th lasted a couple of hours. The BLM riots led to 20 plus murders in the streets of our nation. January 6th was zero murders by participants. The 500 plus BLM riots had hundreds of small businesses destroyed. January 6th didn't destroy any small businesses. The BLM riots had 150 plus federal buildings damaged. January 6th damaged one federal building. The BLM riots had $1 to $2 billion in damage. The January 6th is $1.5 million. The BLM riots, we saw 2,037 officers assaulted. January 6th, 140. BLM riots, protesters bailed out. January 6th, protesters kept in solitary confinement. BLM riots, encouraged by the media and politicians. January 6th, encouraged by fringe political groups and agitators. BLM riots, downplayed by the media. January 6th, exaggerated. Look at the massive difference in the way that these two situations have been treated. We took 7 months worth of riots in our streets and went, those are mostly peaceful. Let's move on. Even though they destroyed... Black Lives Matter destroyed black lives and black businesses. But January 6th, we get to run with and call it an insurrection and a domestic terrorist action all day long. All day long.
I am trying to send you a picture that I need you to show. Okay?
Okay.
I want you to show this picture.
As soon as you send it to me, I'll
send it to you on Slack.
Okay.
Okay. Don't show her screen until she has it pulled up. But
yes.
I sent you a very important picture that everyone needs to see. I need you to see the threat to our democracy. Okay.
Okay, guys, let me pull it up for you. Just a moment. There she is.
This is what our democracy should all be afraid of. Okay, capital meemaw. All right, this is what attacked us.
Yep.
All right, it's terrible insurrection, domestic terrorist. Just look at her.
Yeah.
Right. No, it's truly the level of outrage from the left when it comes to January 6th is just. It's too much, and it's not backed up by the facts. We're not going to spend too much time on it. Prager
no.
talks about a lot of issues, but we're not going to spend too much time. But I will just say a few things. One, no one has been charged with terrorism, sedition, or insurrection. Okay? So all these people want to come and say it's a violent terrorist attack or it's an insurrection. If that was the case, I don't know why no one's been charged. No one's been charged mm-hmm. with any of those things happening to them. Okay? So just remember that when you're going and talking to people. And the second thing is that you have people coming, which is a disgrace and is horrible and disgusting, comparing this to 9/11 or comparing it to the Pearl Harbor attacks, mm-hmm. where almost 3,000 people died during 9/11, 6,000 people injured, and roughly about 2,500 people died with Pearl Harbor.
Yep.
And you want to say that this is at all the same.
So ridiculous.
The left's narrative has no bounds when it comes to stooping low to destroy normal people, right? That's what it is. I mean, people are getting thrown into these DC prisons. A guy with lymphoma was not allowed to get health care coverage while in one of these DC prisons. It's just terrible how they're treating these people. And they will do it all for the narrative, because sacrificing lives and sacrificing the truth is that's the game they play.
Yep.
That's the game they play to push their agenda. So just remember that when you're talking to people. Again, in many ways, it's not even worth talking to some of these people about, because it's just, you know, if you know the truth, then you know the truth.
Yep.
Okay. Some of these people just will never learn.
No, they will not. Speaking of learning, the Chicago mayor, Lori Lightfoot, seems to have learned something over the past few days. And it's learning that maybe young kids who would typically go to public school should continue to go to public school. Here's her little statement about kids in school during COVID.
Enough is enough. We are standing firm and we are going to fight to get our kids back in in-person learning. Period. Full stop.
There we go. And you know, I'm always one to say, if somebody who's not on your side of the aisle does something good, congratulate them for doing something good. I'm congratulating her for doing something good, for standing her ground and saying, yes, we are going to keep the kids in schools. We're not going to let this Omicron variant or whatever variant follows take our kids out of necessary learning that they need to grow and develop as human beings. Now, is it 2 years too late? Absolutely. But at least something is being said now. Tim, you have kids. You know how important it is for them to be in school.
Oh my gosh. This is one of the sickest things we've done to children. You know, we had, and I mentioned this on Dennis's fireside chat the other day when I was on, that in 2020, there were in excess of millions, like 2 to 4 million in excess of, than in 2019, of reports originating online, child sex abuse reports originating online that sent to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And we don't even know what that means exactly yet. Those are the reports. Abuse is happening. It has happened. Why? Because we shut down every safety net, every social safety net, mm-hmm. right? We took teachers away from kids, coaches away from kids. They keep them safe. And what they were told was, my kids were told, sit in this corner, get your laptop, get your iPhone. Mom and dad got to go find toilet paper and whatever else, mm-hmm. right? And the pedophiles are online, and we've seen reports on the dark net. The kids are sitting ducks. Mm-hmm. It's harvest time. And that's why there's this increase in reporting. And that's just one little tiny element. It's huge, but tiny in when you consider everything else. The suicides yep. Yep. of kids are up and all these things. And it's just like, kids are going to survive this. 99% chance they're going to survive it. And frankly,
99.99.
That's right. Yeah. And anyone under 60 is also, last I checked, in that same 99% type yeah. category. That's your teachers. That's your coaches. So it's you're going to be okay. You know, there's going to be some tragic things that happen, but you got to compare it to the tragedy of millions of additional reports going in of kids who potentially are going to be sexually abused.
Right. Right. Well, it's hard to even imagine that there are tragic things that are going to happen when it comes to Omicron. No one's died of Omicron right. in the United yeah. States.
But let's put the kids at risk again to this... these pedophiles, but remember, the pedophiles don't exist,
right?
Because they're just it's just a preference,
mm-hmm. right?
And they see what they're doing. It's like right. they're hitting it from every angle.
All right. Well, what did we just say? They're willing to sacrifice people's education, their mm-hmm. lives, their livelihood, all this to keep their agenda going. They don't care as long as they can continue to push the narrative forward. It doesn't matter if they're hitting rocks on the way in their little narrative boat and it's mm-hmm. flipping all over the
Even
place.
Even if they're babies, they're gonna run over.
Doesn't matter. You know. And you would think that like killing babies and sexual assault of babies would be one thing that these people's PR teams can't escape.
But can I say this? And I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but
no, it's okay.
No, I won't. I don't care. It's truth.
You can blame it on me.
If half the nation is willing to kill a baby in the final trimester of life, you know, if that's where we're at, why would I expect them to help us rescue 12-year-olds or 10-year-olds? Right. It's just, I've personally watched, I think everybody should be required to watch this. I've watched seven babies come out of the woman. The same woman. It's my wife. Okay.
Seven different women.
Yeah. I want to clarify. We have nine children. Two are adopted. But seven, I got. And when you watch that happen and your body just fills with light and you're crying and you're just like, how did a live, this is a beautiful human that just came out of my beloved. Like, I don't even, it's a miracle, right? To think that that's okay to kill, as long as just part of the head is out or whatever, every state has a different crazy law. It's absolutely frightening that half the nation, or maybe more, I don't know, mm-hmm. is cool with that.
To me, it's the most beautiful thing in the world, and that's all I look forward to in life is having.
Oh, there's nothing
is being able to see my wife do that.
And I just can't imagine if someone got to watch that, if they would still be like, yeah, I'll vote for the partial birth stuff and the mm-hmm. late trimester stuff, mm-hmm. or right. But then now I kind of get it. Like, okay.
Well, I asked this months ago. If you like, imagine you go out onto the street and you have a poster. Right? And it's a poster of an aborted baby, right? All sucked out and destroyed and dismembered, but you can still tell it's a baby. And you're just holding it. You don't have a Trump shirt on. You don't have a Biden shirt. It doesn't matter. You're just holding it. What side of the aisle will people think you on? Will they think that you're pro-life or pro-choice? They'll think you're pro-life, mm-hmm. right? They'll think you're pro-life because they see this and they know that like you're against it because it's disgusting. Yeah. You don't even have to say what you are, yeah. but just showing the evils of it, people will know,
yeah.
right? And so the people who are the very pro-choice people that you're talking about, they don't want to look at those kinds of things because it's horrible. It's evil.
Yep. People know. I think that's one of the weirdest things about the abortion movement is how it's changed into not only, it used to be, well, I'm pro-choice, but I recognize that abortion is bad. Now it's like, I'm pro-choice and abortion's great and let's celebrate it and let's take pills out on the streets as a form of protest. And yeah, it's really, really shifted. And of course, the mainstream media doesn't tell you what abortion is actually like. They run with the narrative that we're infringing upon women's bodies by being pro-life and trying to advocate for this legislation. The media never tells you what is truly going on. And we have several examples of this. The title of today's show is What the Media Isn't Saying Right Now. And let's go through a little slideshow and give some commentary on what the media isn't saying. Here's number one, the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack. What was the media not saying there? We saw a man by the name.
It was an SUV, okay?
Yeah, it was an accident.
It was an accident by an SUV.
Yep, it was just a red SUV. There was no man behind it who went and pummeled through a Christmas parade intentionally hurting people. That's what we heard from the media. We even saw a news clip that we showed on the show where we had a primary witness call into a news show and say, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but the guy was black. And for those of you who remember, Daryl Brooks is the perpetrator of the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack. He was a noted career criminal, known for robbing people, even ran over a woman days prior to committing this attack. But when it happened, when he killed all those people at the Christmas parade, the media said, oh, was this an accident? Maybe he was fleeing from another scene and accidentally ran into the Christmas parade. That's what we heard.
Mm-hmm. And apparently that's fine.
Yeah.
As if that's an excuse.
Right, right. They tried as much as they could to excuse this man, and when pictures were released, refused to identify him for who he really was. Why? Because it doesn't support the narrative that they're trying to push. Next one. What the media isn't saying. All of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Will, yeah. you just want to take a crack at how many lies have been said in the name of COVID-19 on the news?
I mean, I think there isn't any truth. Mm-hmm. So it's only lies. I don't know if they've said anything true.
Lies. Yeah.
You know, it's every single thing basically that they have said has been an absolute lie. When it's come to the lockdowns, when it has come to the masks, when it has come to social distancing, when it's come to the vaccines. I mean, basically everything has been a lie when it has come to it.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I've spent hours on these shows talking about those lies.
Yes, we have.
I don't need to tell you here, but
you guys can run them back.
Amount of lies far outweighs the truth. And that's even on some of the mainstream places that you think are more neutral or more mm-hmm. right-wing, still full of lies. Like, it is truly the most lies that I feel like almost I've ever been told in American history. I mean, even with all the things I've said. Tim, you're a history buff. I mean, you would know better than me. But with everything that you've seen, with what they've said and how they've controlled us around, not just America, but around the world, I mean, to me, it feels like there has never been a time where the American government has been so
disingenuous
with the things that they have done.
Yeah, I think in the last 2.5 years we've seen it. Nobody who the recent poll I saw, I think it was a Pew Research poll, 70%+ of Americans give zero credibility to mainstream media. Zero. And they even think it's actually negative. It's like, no, everything's a lie, it's an agenda. Mm-hmm. So the people at least are recognizing it. And when you see who gets more views than anyone, they look like Joe Rogan. Mm-hmm. He's killing it. He's like, you know, and then from there it's like Tucker Carlson and, you know,
Hannity.
The five.
And then CNN is like, it's so I have some hope that the American people are recognizing that there's some with an agenda and some are trying to tell the truth, you know? And, luckily there's places like Prager University where you are teaching truth, you know?
Right. Right. It's but people like Tucker and Joe Rogan. And I think we'd like to do more on this show, but we just don't have a lot of guests on the show all the time. But like someone like Tucker, Tucker Carlson and Alex Berenson, I was reading on Alex Berenson's Substack today, you know, they disagree about the January 6th stuff where they have a lot of disagreements, but Tucker still brings them on his show to talk about it and other things. Or like Joe Rogan doesn't agree with all these people who he brings on his show, but mm-hmm. he brings them on anyway right. and asks mm-hmm. questions of someone who wants to learn more because this person is, you know, an expert in the field, you know, but the mainstream media, CNN doesn't do that, no. you know, and if they do it, it's because they want to shame the person who disagrees with their mainstream agenda. And so that's why those two types of people are heralded as the best, because they bring in people who they might yep. disagree with and are not afraid of confrontation with people who they disagree with, right? That's what it's all about. You have to be able to do that.
And we used to do that.
Yeah, we used to do that.
This country was built on that. Mm-hmm. You know, debate was healthy because both sides had a truth that they thought, and they came to a compromise.
Right.
But we can't even do that anymore.
It's just built on unsafe spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. It needs to be an unsafe space, but now we're just all safe spaces where we just lie in mm-hmm. echo chambers. And,
yeah. If you want to disagree with me on something right now, Tim, we can make this unsafe.
I could come up with some stuff. Probably.
I'm sure you could.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Let's talk about public schools.
He'd probably agree with me.
He might. He just might agree with you on that one. Well, we'll get there. Next slide. What the media isn't saying. The entire Kyle Rittenhouse incident, the entire trial that ensued after that, all media lies, media lies, media lies, media lies. And if you were watching mainstream media, you probably thought, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse is going to jail in a handbasket for what they put out against him. After he had gone through what he went through, in this situation, he was immediately painted as a white supremacist Nazi who showed up to these riots with an aim to kill whoever was in his sights. And it turns out Kyle Rittenhouse acted in self-defense. Who would have thunk it? Who would have watched the video where it shows him acting in self-defense and thought that kid acted in self-defense?
Kyle Rittenhouse.
Let's make this a written make our home a written house or something like that.
What?
It's not a, this year it's a written home. You ever hear that joke?
No.
What? Now I can't, obviously I'm blanking now and I can't tell the joke properly,
chat,
but.
Help us out, chat.
It's going to be way funnier when I explain it to you.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I can't wait. On the edge of my seat.
But yeah, so many media lies about this. They just completely ran with the narrative that they had chosen with no evidence whatsoever. And when the evidence came out, did we hear an apology? Was there any accountability? Absolutely not.
Nope.
Next one here. And this one, I bet Tim will be able to riff on for quite some time. What the media isn't saying. The Ghislaine Maxwell trial. We saw this entire trial go through. She's found guilty. She faces up to 65 years in prison. But what about all the other sexual offenders that were involved with these children?
Mm. Tim, what do you know about this?
So we not as much as I wish I did, but we work, you know, we work in that whole region, the mm-hmm. whole Caribbean region. Mm-hmm. We're very, very active there. I spent the better part of 2021 opening in those countries, and we know where the suppliers were coming, where the girls were coming from. We've talked to the people in certain regions that provided them.
Provided them to Epstein's Island.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I can't confirm, but the people we're talking to, you know. I know the U.S. government. I have close friends who are on that case, actually relocated to the islands to investigate, and it's deep. I mean, it's a deep, deep thing. And I can't believe how little media attention that got compared to like the Rittenhouse trial. Right? Mm-hmm. It was just so silent. In fact, you just pointed out during the trial, The Atlantic comes out with, it's not even real. Kids really aren't being abused that much. Like, it's, yeah. So
they were friends.
Yeah, that's there. We're, I'm hopeful it'll come out. I'm hopeful somehow she will start revealing.
Well, they sealed up the book at the end of the trial.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like that's going to be the end of it for here.
Yeah. Records
which is
are
really
sealed.
Unfortunate.
If
they make people not care about it, like you said, sorry, Emma, if they make people not care about it, like you said, then they can obfuscate from people actually digging deeper into it.
The stories that disappear the quickest are the stories about children and abuse is what I've come to find. You have the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. You had Jeffrey Epstein. Everybody acknowledges that man did not kill himself, but here we are joking about it, you know, years later. What else did we see? We saw CIA releasing that a lot of their operatives and agents had committed crimes against children, and this was known by the entire agency. And again, swept
United
under
Nations
the rug.
Too.
The United Nations, also known for going into foreign countries and abusing children whilst there, and the entire agency well aware of the abuse that these children are being submitted to. Not a single peep. FBI, same thing. When the U.S. gymnast came to the FBI and said, hey, we are being abused by Larry Nassar, what happened? Swept under the rug until it couldn't be ignored any longer. Why is it that child trafficking seems to be the one thing that just never gets to see the light of day? I don't understand.
And I don't understand, other than I can say children, I said this on your show before, children can't protest, they can't riot, yep. They can't organize, they're easy to dismiss,
yeah.
and they are dismissed in this society.
Right. But you give them a voice.
Yes,
we try to give them a voice. Yep.
Can we talk about what you and I are going to be doing?
Yes.
Get into it.
Can we talk about it?
Yeah, we can.
Without revealing too much.
Without revealing too much. So first I'll say this. one of my heroes of history is William Wilberforce. And maybe it's not a coincidence that his name's Will. Will Wilberforce.
Yeah, WW. Will
Yeah, Whit. WW. What the heck is going on? No, I just got the chills, man.
Yeah.
So
no, I can see it.
William Wilberforce in the early 19th century was... he was the preeminent abolitionist of the United Kingdom, and he really ended the transatlantic slave trade through Britain, at least, made it illegal, and it took him his whole life. But what he did was he would bring influencers and kind of force them to see it. He was a wealthy guy, so he had a ship, and he'd bring them, invite these wealthy, influential people on his boat.
Influential people is like royalty from other countries.
Like royalty, wealthy people in society, statesmen, right. And people who can make a difference or donate money or have a voice.
Got it.
You know, and he'd bring them on in his boat, like pretend it was just a dinner, like come enjoy a little cruise. And then he'd bump his ship up against a slave ship and say, okay, you mother effers, look at this, smell it, taste it. This is slavery. This is what you are letting happen. And they'd see the slaves and smell, and they'd be like, I can't believe this. And then he'd make converts out of it. Mm-hmm. So I love history. You know this. And I try to use history to apply it to the modern day fight, right? We don't need to trick people, influencers, but we will occasionally and very carefully take people with a voice like Will Witt. We've done this with Tony Robbins. We've done this with Glenn Beck, Mike Tomlin, the head of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And show them, like, this is real. Don't believe The Atlantic. Believe your eyes, because we will take you in and show you women and children who are literally being locked up, being forced to be, you know, raped on the daily, away from their homes. And they see it, and they can't believe it. And they're just like, this is really real, right? And then they come home and evangelize over it. So we call it, it's our William Wilberforce program. And Will, he made the list somehow.
He snuck his way in.
And
no, I had to make sure that before when you said influencers, I needed to make sure you said royalty. Because that's, you know, talking about.
Because you are royalty. You're an influencer and you're royalty.
That's
in some book I've never read, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But it is cool that his name was WW.
No, it's very
Will
cool.
Will W.
Yeah.
So we got the big guy over here. You see the big guy over here off camera. He's been training. He's been training Will. Mm-hmm. He had some cool training sessions, I understand.
Self-defense and first aid and, you know, how to do all this secret stuff. I don't know if I can get into the secret stuff, but it's very secret. Okay.
But we do.
All of this, it's amazing.
We do have a case in mind that we've been working for quite some time. It was a case where we were approached by a government who saw the work we were doing in a neighboring country and said, we need your help. And they talked about this place where there was, I got to be so careful that I don't say
you don't have to.
But I do
want to
say it's a certain place where they were getting a lot of intel of women and children who were being beaten, drugged, forced into this place. Some of them escaped, and they couldn't get inside because, first of all, they only let Westerners in. It's like thousands of dollars just to get into the place, and they just needed someone to go in and verify that it is this person, and they are selling X amount of kids at this age. And so we were able to get in there, verified, got the intel back, and they were just elated, like the government, like, we got him, we're going to save all these people. It's been over a year, right? Because what happens, again, it's you're fighting corruption, right? And the prosecutor in that particular region was scared of the guy. He's right. A powerful dude.
Right.
And so it took a year for the attorney general of the country to actually get rid of that person, replace that person. And then we just got word about a month ago, we got the warrant. Right. And so now it's just about a timing of how to do it right and get in. And so that is the case we have in mind. We have multiple cases going all the time, but we're super stoked to be able to go in and liberate all these people. And you're going to have a front seat.
I am beyond excited, you know, despite the prospect of fear. I mean, it is a scary thing. I'm going to be honest with you.
And people are going to criticize me for doing this. I don't care because I know what we're doing saves kids. Mm-hmm. If I can get Will to see this and then come back and he can talk to so many millions about it, that's how it's William Wilberforce model.
Right.
And it works.
Right.
So that's
There's
a why behind it. It saves more kids.
Right.
That's it. And that's why we do it.
So. Well, I'm grateful for you taking me along. It really does mean a lot that you would do that for me. You know?
We're super excited. You'll be able to. It's a way where you can use your talents to rescue kids. People always say I'm not an operator. I'm not. You have a talent to rescue kids. You just don't understand it yet. Let us show you what it is, and boom.
Yeah, kids. Let me tell you about the VAERS data on the vaccines. This is what I can. That's my skill set on.
And then Emily, you're next. So pick your country because you're next.
Okay, I'm ready. I'll go in and be an actress. I will.
Be an actress.
I'll do my thing.
Someone had an idea. I shut it down. Uh-huh. They said, we'll put a little GPS on Emily, sell her. This is a bad joke. I'll get in trouble for this. Sell her to traffickers, and we'll come get you in a week.
Genius.
Imagine the intel you'll have.
I would know a lot about human trafficking at that point.
You'd be like, this girl keeps talking about critical race theory.
No one
even wants it.
They kicked her out.
Yeah, exactly. They kicked her out.
Right.
Sorry. I know we have to joke about these things. If I don't laugh, I'll cry.
Comic relief is such an important thing. I can't imagine psychologically what it must be to be a person in that situation, let alone to be somebody who's like working around it all day long. What do you guys do for that sort of toll that it takes on you?
You said you had the lady who went to the therapy conference. She's like
she's our director of aftercare.
Okay.
For the
victims.
For the victims.
Okay,
the survivors.
Not for you guys.
But
okay.
We have a whole cast of therapists that we provide free to our operators as well because we're all screwed up in the head. Like we need that for sure. So, and then humor, honestly, it's just the constant release and just laughing over things that aren't really funny, huh? But we But we laugh because if we don't laugh, we'll cry.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, so.
You seem pretty normal.
On the show, I can pull it off.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm being nice.
I can only imagine. Yeah.
We're being as nice as possible.
That's what we say on camera.
Exactly. Once you leave, I mean, it's all just going to be talking about you behind your back. No, but it's truly incredible work, man. Honestly, I'm honored to be a part
of
it.
We're so grateful for you. PragerU has been an amazing media partner with us for so long.
Yeah.
We're super grateful. So.
Yeah.
Well, outside of what you do for work, you're also a massive history buff. We've mentioned that several times on the show today. And today, you're a special guest on this day specifically because it's Throwback Thursday. And you have a Throwback Thursday story for us about 1862 and Lincoln's conversion to share with us.
I couldn't believe you guys told me I had to talk about history. Like
this is your job.
Because I really do. History was was the thing that healed me. Mm-hmm. When I was doing undercover work in the beginning, and I just would read all the history books of these heroes like Harriet Tubman and Harriet Jacobs, who's another abolitionist that were like my heroes. Like if they could do it in their situation, I can do something like it, you know? And so I love history, learned so much, but 1862 is the most important year in American history, you know? And if you've seen the movie Lincoln, the Spielberg, it's great. It focuses on 1865, the passage of the 13th Amendment. But 1862, something happened to Lincoln that needs to happen to every single American. And then we will no longer need to be talking about all this crap that's happening in the nation if everyone did this. But when Lincoln became president, you know he was not for attacking slavery where it existed, mm-hmm. right? People think that the Civil War was not initially about slavery.
Right.
It was in the sense that the South left because they were scared that that Lincoln and the New Republican Party, which had an anti-slavery platform, but by anti-slavery, it just meant no extension of slavery into new territories. And Lincoln got up in his first inaugural and said, I'm not touching it. I won't take it away. I won't even touch it where it exists. And, you know, God's up there going, no, no, you got to do it, right? So he went, God put him through something in 1862 where he's losing every battle, even though he out resources the South 2-1, should have won every battle, losing every battle. And then his son dies. One of the most harrowing, just the most tragic stories. Willie, his son, 12 years old, best friend, with him all the time, and dies of typhoid fever pretty quick, just like in a couple of weeks, and he's just broken. He broke, sobbing, just shaking, like, I'm dead. And this American history hero, or heroine, is called to the White House, and no one knows her name. Her name is Rebecca Pomeroy. She was the nurse at a medical hospital, and they brought her into the White House because Mary Lincoln was a mess, having lost her son, and Lincoln had to run a war in a country, and they have another son, Tad. So Rebecca Pomeroy comes in, and Lincoln's watching her, and she's the happiest woman in the world, and he can't figure it out because she's lost her husband, lost two of her three kids, and her last son is fighting in the war. And he's like, you should be the most miserable person on the planet, and you're so happy. Why? And she says to him, according to her own recollection, she said to him, because I met God, Mr. President. And he, in essence, says, well, can you introduce me? And thus begins, he was a God-fearing man before, but not a religious guy, right? He becomes a religious guy. He's like, she's like teaching him and tutoring him in the Bible. And he's all of a sudden going to his cabinet saying things like, literally said once, he says, God's talking to me and we've all been wrong. You know, and he starts saying crazy things like, this war is a punishment, a corrective action on North and South. I mean, he starts telling the country, like in his second inaugural, that this war is happening as a punishment to us as well as the South, because we let this happen. And he starts telling his cabinet, we got to change the purpose of the war. It's not just about recollecting the property that the South has taken from the national government. That's the original reason he went in. It's now about liberating slaves. It's about liberating the captive. And his cabinet's like, don't do it. You promised the nation you wouldn't do it, you know? And it was a super dangerous thing. And he's like, I'm going to issue the Emancipation Proclamation, which would eventually lead to the 13th Amendment, right? And they said, if you do this, the war is going to end in the South's favor because the white soldiers in the North are racist too. And they're going to drop their weapons and walk away if you do this. And he said, I have no choice. Mary, his wife, came to him, please don't do this. And he looks at her and he says, I'm a man under orders. I can do nothing else. I have to do this. And it was super risky. He could have lost everything. And he did it. Luckily, the nation was prepared, and a couple of battle miracles happened right in the nick of time. And after Antietam, when he said he made a covenant with God. He says, if we win Antietam, it's now September 1862, I will issue the Emancipation Proclamation. And they won barely. They won because Corporal Barton Mitchell, this Northern soldier, trips over a cigar one day, a few days before the battle, and pulls it up. I've been to it's called Best Farm, where they were camping out days before Antietam. Pulls the cigar, opens up the envelope around the cigar, and it's Robert E. Lee's battle plans for Antietam. And to this day, no one can explain how, it's like a 1 in a million chance, really? Right, that it would get there. Sends it to Lincoln. George McClellan, the commanding officer of the North, says, I just found a paper that I will be able to whip Bobby Lee. He telegraphs to Lincoln. And they win, and a miracle. Lincoln's on his knees while that's happening, making a covenant with God. That's the word he used. And on September 22nd, he walks into his cabinet, and he says, guys, I don't care what you say. I know your opinions. I don't care. I'm issuing the Emancipation Proclamation, and this war is now about the eradication of slavery. And I just love the lesson because it's like, turn to God. You know, I look at politicians and who I'm going to vote for. Do you have the God check, I call it? Do you have the God check? Because God is truth. Media is not truth. Where can you find truth these days? It's scary, right? God can give you truth. Like, meditate. Do something. Clear the mechanism, right? Get truth. And that's what Lincoln did. And the truth was, I'm ending this. I'm ending slavery. And that changed the whole purpose of the war, and frankly, it changed the entire nation, right? Beautiful story. I wish everybody would go through that process and have a conversion about what it means to be an American and what is truth and what is the right thing to do. So that is my history lesson.
Wow. That might be the best Throwback Thursday we've had.
That was really incredible.
That was very good. You sure do know your history. And a lot of people in the comments are saying, wow, this
it's documented too. I've written books, primary sources. I didn't make anything up.
Right.
Absolutely the truth about what happened. And I may or may not be doing a show coming up.
Ooh.
He's not.
I'm not.
Absolutely not.
I just wanted to toss it out there.
I may be at your studios a lot for a reason.
Yeah.
So you may be hearing more about this at some point. Maybe. I'm not making an announcement.
I think that's so good. I mean, if you guys follow my blog, which I know thousands of you do, which is awesome, every Sunday I put out a biblical post, you know, where it's not really the politics, but it's just how people can connect with God, connect with truth and all of that, which I think is lost in so much of the political noise that we hear nowadays. Like, I got baptized earlier this year and it was the most important thing I've ever done. And you realize that the faith drives the politics, not the other way around, right? And for me, that has been probably the most important lesson of this year for how I've looked at a lot of things that have happened this year in the world, right? And how to deal with them, especially knowing that even though the hard things happen, it's not that life will be easier. It's that now you have the tools to deal with it a lot better.
Absolutely.
And why you fight, right?
You know,
like why I fight. Why I fight for the things that I do now is not just because of clout or social media fame or you know, because I really care about this red politician. It's like, no, you do it for God. You do it for truth.
You do it for truth.
You know, and that was huge for me. Waking up to that
and
fact
that's and
changed
and that's what
did.
Lincoln did. He stopped caring what anyone said, including his cabinet. He says, I gotta, in fact, the words, Gideon Welles was the Secretary of the Navy at that September 22nd cabinet meeting post Antietam. And he wrote down what Lincoln said exactly at the end. Beautiful words. He said, they said, please don't do this. He said, listen, I will, and he wrote it down. I will keep the promise I made to myself and to my maker. God has decided the slave question in favor of the slaves. That's what he wrote it down. And it was just like, you just got baptized, right? You have to now keep the promise you made to your maker.
Right.
And if you do it, you will speak truth.
Right.
And you'll do things that are true.
Trying.
Yeah, you'll try.
You try.
You'll fail sometimes.
You know, definitely failed. But trying.
But wake up, America. Do it. Lincoln did it. Washington did it.
Right.
Like, can we not try it?
He even denied his wife.
Harriet Tubman. He did. Even his wife was like, don't do it. Yeah. Harriet Tubman's another example, right? Like, you want to act like you praying is antiquated and old-fashioned and the woke left isn't going to, you know, that's stupid. Okay, if you're going to throw darts at that idea, then you're throwing darts at Harriet Tubman. Go for it. I want to watch you do it. Because if you know her story, I mean, she saved, you know, dozens of slaves, but her whole thing was she did have a pistol in her pocket, but she turned to God. I mean, her story's incredible. She kneeled down. Which way do I go? God, left or right? And God would talk to her. You know, Harriet Tubman, right? You want to, the woke one, they want to love her. Like, how can you not? But you're completely disrespecting her by attacking the idea that she promoted, that God leads, right? So it puts them in a weird place.
And people don't understand that historical context of America and just the West in general, you know, how important all of that was. But when you have people, this is why we, part of the reason why we have a crisis, because people want to abandon the roots of Western culture, which is, I mean, Christianity, right? And those types of values, those truths, when they abandon those things, then you get this type of society.
So how do we become the freest nation in the world? You know, there's a study by this political scientist named Donald Lutz. In the 70s, because there was a big debate about which of all the political philosophers most influenced the founding generation, because it was so amazing that they produced something. No one had seen anything like America, right, in the history of the world, a republic that gave this much freedom to the people. And he took 10 years, because they didn't have the internet back then, and it took 10 years to read every letter, every correspondence, every military, you know, newsletter, whatever he had. And who was it? Was it Locke? Was it Hobbes? Was it Cicero or Plutarch? Because they quoted all of them, right?
Right.
And academia was shocked and pissed when they found out the results. It wasn't even close. By far, it was the Old Testament. It was the Bible. In the Old Testament, which is the story of how God makes one nation under God. That was the most quoted thing in the making of our nation, which brought this amazing thing called freedom. Oh, but it came with slaves. No, it came with the solution to end slavery.
Right.
That's what it came with. And that's why they ended slavery within the next generation, right? And they just don't want to see that. But we got to go back to that. We got to go back to those roots if we want to preserve the liberty that we're completely losing right now.
Damn right. Amen to that, man. I'm with you 100%. I know what our nation was built on.
Fantastic way to close out today's show. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Tim, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
We're,
you guys, I
obviously,
love being here.
He's going to be on in the future. You're not. It's not the last time that you see Tim's
you
face.
Better not kick me out.
Would you like to give a prayer for our audience?
Can I?
Can you?
Yeah. I'd love to.
Okay, please.
I've never been asked to do that on a radio show.
Yeah. Well, listen, I listen to some radio shows. And
that's
that.
So awesome.
I would like to hear.
Let's do this. All right. Our dear Father, we are so grateful for this beautiful land of liberty. We're grateful for the history that teaches us how to be free, how to preserve liberty. We're grateful for the covenant relationship that has always existed, Father, between this people and you. And we ask that hearts will be touched. We ask that people will rise up and see truth, see you, see this covenant relationship, and start applying these principles, as Washington talked about, the rules of order and right, which heaven itself has ordained. Help us to find those rules of order and right, Father, and live them, live truth, reject lies, reject things that hurt children, that hurt the innocent, and rise above. We ask that enough of us can come together to reinvoke this covenant relationship that your country, America, can be blessed once again with full freedom. This we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. We know not everyone watching the show is Christian or believes in God. We understand that. But this is something that I believe was important regardless.
Thank you for asking me to do that.
Yeah.
And I agree. This is not a Christian thing.
Most people here are Jewish.
Right. Which I love. Well, they originated the concept of one nation under God. The whole Old Testament is
right.
That's them. That's the founders quoted them.
Right.
So we all get it. You don't have to be any religious denomination to get it. But it's what preserves liberty. Right. So,
and that's awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for watching. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live. That is 2:30 Pacific to 5:30 Eastern every single weekday. Check out Tim and all his work at OUR and get involved. Like we said, all this show should have taught you, if you leave with nothing else, get involved, do something about the issues that we are talking about, and comment down below how excited you are for Will to go on his own mission with OUR and do the work.
You guys are probably
them.
More excited than I am.
I'm so excited to come back and he'll tell you what we saw. It's gonna be a blast on this show.
We're gonna do our best to film some of it, right?
Yeah, we'll film as much as we can.
As much as we can of that kind of stuff that we can show you guys. But you know, we'll film enough.
Yep.
So
awesome. Thank you guys for watching. We'll be back tomorrow for Fun Friday.